It's all about that loop, about that. God damn it. It's all your fault, too.
It is. It really is. Hello, and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode Beta 20 for Wednesday, the 21st of January, 2015. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me, as always, is my friend Kent. How you doing, man?
All right, dude. How you doing?
You know, one of these days I'm going to not stumble during the intro. That's a goal. I'm going to try to achieve that. That's my goal.
Yeah, we can hope, right?
No, probably not. Probably shouldn't. Probably should just leave it alone. All right, man. So how was your week this week, man?
Busy. I know I say that a lot. But this week, I was really busy with a lot of karate stuff. A lot of stuff going on. Started out the weekend, Friday, was sparring as usual. And then Saturday we had our annual awards banquet, which is always a lot of fun. Got a couple awards. I was gonna bring my awards out here so that I could read them, and I completely forgot that part. The one that I'm the most proud of, though, is I was in the adult category. I was the most improved in sparring for the year, so I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Still not a great sparrer, but I'm a hell of a lot better than I was a year ago.
Well, they should just fight you over Zelda.
Right. That was kind of my intro. Like, hey, you need to get better at this so you can. Anyway.
Two guys fight, both of them lose. I can't figure it out.
Let's see. Then Sunday, we had a seminar for self-defense keychains. A Kubaton, if anyone's ever heard of that. It's basically like a small stick, for lack of a better word, that in the case of this thing, you can put it on your keychain. And it's a self-defense tool. Technically, it's not a weapon unless you are flying or entering a courthouse. Those are the only two places that consider it a weapon.
Okay.
But anyway, that was a lot of fun. This was actually the advanced seminar. I've been to the regular one a couple times. This is the advanced one. It was a lot of fun. Got to hurt Sensei in all kinds of ways that I wouldn't want to be hurt myself. That was kind of cool.
cool.
Then other than that, man, I've been doing a lot of preparation for testing. Hopefully I'm going to be testing this coming Saturday for my next belt. And so I've been preparing for that, doing a lot of kata practice and things. And the cool thing is, because I don't remember if I mentioned this before or not, about the belt ranks, how you call the belt ranks in karate. Or any Japanese art, for that matter. The colored belt ranks, basically every rank before you get to black belt, they're called kus. And they count backwards from black belt. So the last belt that you have, like your brown belt before you get to black belt, that's first ku. Or in Japanese, you're going to count them out in Japanese. Well, my next belt that hopefully I'm going to attain on Saturday is fifth ku, which in Japanese is pronounced Goku. So anybody that's watched Dragon Ball Z, I'm going to be Goku soon. So anyway,
so wrong.
There's another geeky thing.
Wow.
Other than that, man, Monday off. I spent part of Monday installing a cat door on my laundry door. Like a little, a doggy door, but for cats. Because the dogs just would not stay out of the cat box. They like the candy that the cats leave.
Oh, yes. Yes, cat candy.
Yeah, so, our solution was to install a kitty door on the laundry door, because we keep the cat box in the laundry room. And so far, huge success.
No better place to keep cat turds than the place that washes your laundry, right?
Exactly. that was pretty much my week, though. How was your week?
I spent the week doing podcast stuff. I've got all those podcasts pushed out. We are up to date.
I think for the first time in history.
There are no more in the bag or in the can, as we say. It's all out there. Got the got the Facebook page up. I fixed all the graphics on all of them. Because there was a few errors. I made some changes to the blog, did some research on domains and transferring to a different blog server. And spent a lot of time this weekend just on the podcast and getting caught up and looking forward to the future.
Yeah, so. Awesome, man. Yeah, I was noticing everything that you were doing because I was downloading the cast as they became available. Obviously, the Facebook page. You put in a lot of work, and coming from me, your partner, I absolutely appreciate everything you do for the cast, and I'm right there with you, man. I am looking forward to the future of this cast. It's gonna be a fun ride. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's gonna definitely be exciting. You did your geeky thing of the week during the pre-show, which people our patrons will be able to view. My geeky thing of the week, I finally broke down and paid for a VPN service.
Hmm.
Yeah. Between being monitored by my local cable company, my internet provider, and my desire to ensure I have some of the latest stuff I wouldn't otherwise pay for, I decided that it was finally time for me to crack down and, go have a little bit more privacy on the internet. So I found one. I did some research. I found it and had a choice of a couple different ones between Pro XPN and PIA. And I went with PIA because they have a little bit better rate and they have some features that Pro XPN would have charged me a little extra for. So, Yep. We'll see how that works out. About a year cost me $40 and I get unlimited traffic, unlimited bandwidth. In fact, we're doing it right now over my VPN because I forgot to turn it off before we started this. And I haven't noticed any lag or anything else. So I'm doing pretty good with it. And, I enjoy having just an extra little bit of privacy. Plus when I go over to Korea, it's going to allow me to tap back into the States and get Netflix and things like that. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If this was directly in response to your upcoming PCS,
that was the final consideration. Once I started looking into it and I was thinking about different ways of doing it, that was it. And the big kicker between Pro XPN and PIA was that PIA allows me to set up my iPhone, my iOS device, for use of the VPN. So it doesn't remove the data charges, you're still using the same data, but it makes it look like I'm in the States, so apps that wouldn't work while I was in Korea will, and Netflix and things like that will work on my devices when I go over there. So that was the big kicker. Very nice.
So that's super cool, and for the price, I mean, it's worth it.
$40 for a year isn't bad. So
awesome. So speaking of internet.
Yes.
So when we think of the internet, we think of web pages and streaming videos and podcasts and stuff like that. But what about devices other than computers and phones and the like? What about a washer and dryer being connected to the internet?
Right.
What do you think about that?
Well, we're talking about the Internet of Things. And my first... The Internet of Things refers to interconnected devices that we use in our everyday lives, is really what it comes down to. The ironic thing about that is that most of them aren't even connected to the Internet. They're just interconnected amongst themselves on a local network. Mm-hmm. And in that aspect, the first time I heard about this, and I meant to actually look it up for the exact timing, the first time I heard about this was reading an article about... reading an article about Bill Gates' house in the outskirts of Seattle or wherever it was, where visitors could wear a pin and the house would adjust the temperature in the room the lighting in the room, the music level, and things like that, according to who was in the room and their personal preferences. Obviously, weighting some people more than others and taking an average of however that weighting worked out. But it did that so that, you know, people would be as comfortable as possible in any room they went into. It had the additional feature of allowing access to certain rooms if, you know, certain people walked up to the door, would unlock the door for them and things like that. Really, really cool stuff. But I thought that was like so far out of the line. I mean, that was so futuristic at the time. I remember thinking, man, when and if that ever happens, it's going to be amazing. And what I didn't realize, it's here, and it's not necessarily as amazing as it is often confusing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about the first time that you heard about this. I don't remember when I first heard the term Internet of Things, but it was fairly recently. I'd say within the last year is when I really noticed the term Internet of Things. But the concept, it's been out there for a long time, and I think the first I remember of the concept is the home of the future. A lot of the things that you were talking about, but that's the context that I first heard about it as well. And yeah, it kind of got me excited too. But exactly like you said, it's here, but it's not as awesome as I thought it was going to be by this point. Anyway, one of your friends has, I mentioned the washer and dryer, but one of your friends actually has a washer and dryer that are connected.
And refrigerator. Yes. They will actually and call home to Maytag or GE or whoever to tell it that, hey, I need some service. My Freon is low or whatever it is that works out. Or, hey,
my spin cycle isn't
going as fast as it's supposed to.
Doesn't the washing machine also like text him when, like, hey, the laundry's done, time to put it in the dryer?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And see, I can see that as being useful, but at the same time, I don't know. I mean, you know you put the laundry in a half hour ago. You know your laundry's done. I don't know.
I think it's so much more than that, though. I mean, when I'm looking at it, it's amazing the possibilities. Now, I did a little bit of research. I did some reading up because, you know, that's the whole point of having a topic for the week so we can talk about it and be halfway educated. And one of the things that I noticed was a visualization from Cisco from, I believe, 2011. Mm. Yes, 2011. And I think this little thing here is just amazing. When it says, it's talking about Internet of Things. These things are starting to talk to each other and develop their own intelligence. Imagine a scenario where your meeting is pushed back 45 minutes late. Your car knows it will need gas to make it to the train station. Fill-ups usually take 5 minutes. There's an accident on your driving route causing a 15-minute detour. Your train is running 20 minutes behind schedule. So all that is communicated to your alarm clock. So your alarm clock allows you to sleep an extra 5 minutes and tells your car to start 5 minutes later so that it can melt the ice accumulated overnight in the storms. And it tells your coffee maker to turn on at the same time as you waking up.
Yeah. Now, see, that's the future I want to live in.
That's where it's going. I mean, it's just like agreed. We're going to hit this cusp and all of a sudden everything's going to be connected. And we're getting so close to the brim of this revolution.
And I think that's where we've been for the last, 5 years or so. We've been there, but not, you know, we got this washer and dryer that tells you when your laundry's done, or that, it's time to change out the belt on the, that's cool, but come on, that's baby steps. Let's go. Let's get to this future. We have the technology. It's all here. All the pieces are here.
Yep.
Just do it. We just need somebody to really take a giant leap forward. I was really hoping like CES or something, you know, there would be some major progress with this sort of thing, but everybody's just like, oh no, we got, there's a higher resolution TV.
Yeah.
Let's move forward. Let's be innovative. Let's go forward with the Internet of Things. I'm really looking forward to this Internet of Things future.
What you were saying goes back to my comment last week about CES being irrelevant. But, you know, there are certain things. It's just, it's not the plethora of new tech that we all want it to be. Another article on Wired.com.
What was that last part of there?
I said I found another article on Wired.com talking about certain things like your dog tags telling you when your dog has left the yard, your swimming pool heating up when there's a barbecue on your calendar, moisture sensors in your lawn telling your sprinklers to turn on, taking in consideration the forecasted rains, things like that. Your garage door automatically closing and the house locking when you leave because it can tell by your cell phone or whatever. A basketball court that can actually keep track of your shooting percentage. You know, little things like this. I mean, I think things like this are they're so close, and we can accomplish all of these. And I'm not talking about just a connected home. I'm talking about the connected life. You know.
Yeah, the connected world.
Yep. Your office knows that you're going to arrive 5 minutes late, so your coffee maker turns on a little bit later. Your office lights don't come on, and your computer doesn't boot up for an extra 5 minutes because it knows you're going to be 5 minutes late. You know, all of this. The important part about this that I see is that it's all seamless. There's no setup. There's no. You don't have to sit there and know code and program at all and anything else. It's all just got to work. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Apple could do this, but it'd be amazingly expensive, and only 3 people in the entire world would be able to afford it. So, you know,
yeah,
yep. I need it on the affordable level. But that's, I see that as where it's going, and I'm really excited about getting there.
Yeah, me too. The biggest concern that I have about it is security, because if it's connected to the internet, it is hackable.
Yes.
And they, you know, that just gets proven over and over and over again. A little bit concerned about my entire life being connected, and somebody that does know how to code chooses me as a target, whether they don't like me or I'm randomly selected or whatever. That can wreak a lot of havoc on your life if you're basically your entire life is hacked. This goes way beyond your email getting hacked into and whatever.
Well,
the limited amount of impact
the simple
can happen today.
The simple scenario for this is your front door. You have your front door programmed to where it automatically opens whenever you walk up to it, according to an NFC chip in your phone. So you walk up to the door and all of a sudden it doesn't work. The battery's died. The code jacked up. You went through electromagnetic field that messed with the wiring or whatever else, there has to be a safe way of getting through the door without the connection working. So there has to be a physical way to open the door, and there's already physical ways to open the door, and that's already hackable. So the physical backup is already hackable. It doesn't matter if the electronic version is or isn't, even though we know with people like Darren Kitchen in the world at Hack 5, they're going to be able to hack this stuff, and it's not going to be, there's too many black hat people out there that aren't you're not going to be able to secure it completely. But then you also run the case of, well, if it's that, if they want to get in that bad, aren't they just going to bust through a window anyway?
Well, true, but okay, then what about the, like a global hack, for lack of a better term, where every door opens, not just you, not just the target, but everyone's door opens. Everyone's car turns off. You know what I mean? Some of these like nightmare scenarios of, excuse me. Are you familiar with the game Watch Dogs?
I am not.
Came out.
Perhaps I should be.
Last year, it was a launch game, I think, for the PS4, and I think on the new Xbox as well. But basically, you're this guy. I don't have the game, so I can't speak in detail on it. But basically, you're a guy that's You're kind of on the run. You're running from the cops or something. I don't know. There's a storyline that you got to play out. You're probably like wrongly accused or something like that. But you're navigating the city, and I believe it's Chicago. But you're navigating a city, and all you have is a smartphone. But you can hack everything with it. You can have lights turn on and off. You can make the trains go and stop. You can change the stoplights. You can you walk up to an ATM and you can just get money because you hacked the machine. You walk next to people and you know their story. You know everything about them as you walk by them. You know, that's the sort of thing that, it's fantasy, but you know, the Internet of Things could actually enable, you know, scenarios like that.
Video phone calls were fantasy back in the 50s.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, even the Jetsons in the
80s. And we're doing it right
now. Yeah, the Jetsons in the 80s were fantasizing about it being in the future. And it's here. I'd rather have the flying cars, to be honest with you, because I can always talk to people.
Right? Where are those at?
But yeah, I want the flying cars. I want the flying cars and the little thing, little troller or a little treadmill thing for the dog hanging out the side of my sky house. You know, that's what I want.
Exactly.
One company that's trying to put us there, and it was pretty interesting today, but Microsoft is trying to direct us into that direction. They had an event, and you paid more attention to it than I did, so why don't you tell us what it's about?
Okay. Actually, okay. When was it? 6 months ago, something like that? 4 to 6 months ago, Microsoft announced Windows 10. We were all making fun of it because current version is Windows 9. 8. Where the hell is Windows 9?
Right.
Well, they had an event today. I didn't watch the keynote. I was trying to find time to do that today. But yeah, I did not have time to do that.
So instead of watching an hour-long keynote, you spent 3 hours reading articles about the hour-long keynote.
No, I could see me doing that, but no, that's not the case. I honestly only spent probably 15 to 20 minutes reading about it.
Okay.
Because so many sites now have
breakdowns.
Everything basically just bullet pointed out.
Yep.
In fact, I on our Reddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com, or is it Ritual Misery? No, it's ritualmisery.reddit.com. I linked an article from PC World about it. And it's actually, I'm actually really looking forward to Windows 10. First of all, it's not Windows 8. That's probably the most important thing about it.
Everybody
pretty much universally hates Windows 8.
Almost as importantly, I'll give you that's the most important thing, but almost as importantly, it's free to Windows 7 and 8 users.
Exactly. Taking a cue from Apple.
So the name and the price are both being taken after Apple. I see a trend here.
Yeah, but it's really cool. If you're a Windows 7 or a Windows 8.1 user, for 1 year after the release, which we still don't know. We don't know the date yet, but up to one year after the release, current Windows 7 and 8 users will be able to upgrade to 10 for free, which I think is really awesome.
Right.
Especially considering so many people are ready to just say F you to Microsoft.
I wonder what it's going to cost to non-Windows 7 and Windows 8 users.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I wonder how much it's going to cost for non-Windows 7 and Windows 8 users.
Curious about that myself.
Because I have one Windows 7 machine, and it's this box right here.
Yeah.
It's not even plugged in, so.
Yeah, some things that I thought was pretty cool. The browser looks like Microsoft is moving away from Internet Explorer, which I think is really cool. They're moving to something called Spartan. There's been a Project Spartan for a while now, but you know, with like Longhorn became XP. Microsoft is known for codenaming things, so Project Spartan. I don't know if the browser, when it comes out, if it's actually going to be called Spartan. Maybe it's just going to be called IE. What are they on? 11 or something now? Maybe it's just going to be called that. I don't know, but I think Spartan's a very apt name for it because it's a very Spartan, I guess barren. There's nothing there. You open the browser and it's the bare essentials. You open
it's kind of getting out of
now, and it's like it's just
Yeah.
Full of crap.
It's kind of getting out of your way and letting you view the content instead of view the browser.
Yeah, exactly. And they've got a read mode, much like, I think the current iteration has a read mode, but they improved it quite a bit. iOS, of course, has a read mode, or Safari has a read mode. But one thing that I think is really cool is that you can make notes. You can open up a web page and make some notes, circle some things, like, oh, this is the paragraph right here that I want Amos to read. I can send you that link, and you've got my notes as well.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. The thing about that I didn't really care for, though, is from what I read, that is only for people that are on Windows Mobile.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
Well,
yeah, Windows Phone I think or whatever
that's,
it is.
I think that's more for the... because they're talking about actually drawing on the page and whatnot.
Yeah.
And most people in their home computers aren't going to have a touchscreen monitor, so I can, you know.
Yeah, anyway,
I guess that kind of makes
getting
sense.
There. Now, one thing that you might want to know is that they do seem to be going towards universal apps, to where your apps can be used on your desktop and your phone and your tablet and all that other stuff. Instead of having separate apps, it'll all have the same basic interface process, so you can do that.
Yeah, I think that's the way computing is going in general.
Especially with the way that money is being made by app developers.
Yep.
In the Reddit, I included an article from 9to5 Mac talking about iOS developers sharing earnings and kind of letting it all go as far as how much money they're actually making and when they're making that money and what causes the differences in income.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, bottom line, I mean, you could try to cut into this as much as you want. And obviously, the results were skewed by the fact that the people that weren't making money weren't going to share the results. But an iOS release comes out and it's a huge spike. Then Android releases another big bump, and a sale can make another big bump, and expansion packs and Christmas. Pretty much nothing else. Being featured on top 10 lists and things like that, nothing else really increased it, and it never... You know, there's always spikes, and it was never really a sustainable thing. Once you've pretty much made most of your money within the first month or two, and after that, it's going to be kind of a slow drizzle income. And when you're spending $1.4 million on an app for the development process before it even gets out the door, you kind of have to make the big splash right up front. And I thought it was pretty interesting looking at the trends. And, of course, the link to this article will be in the show notes. But if you're an app developer, or if you want to be an app developer, I think it's worth taking a look at exactly how much they're actually making on these. Because I considered writing apps for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this right here, along with what we just talked about the Internet of Things and how insecure or secure they could be, have driven me to change my degree path when I resume school this summer.
Yeah.
So,
you know, the thing that stuck out to me when I read the article that you linked to on our Reddit, excuse me, sorry. The thing that stuck out to me was that the first 24 hours is when you make your money. You make more money in the first 24 hours of release than you do for like the next month combined.
Yep.
And now I can only imagine though that that's with heavy promotion, because if you or I just, you know, threw something together and threw it out there, nobody's going to know about it and we're not going to make anything. So it's the more heavily promoted things or whatever. You build the hype for the release, put it out, everybody that knew about it gets it, and then it's just kind of trickle from there.
Yeah, then it's just a trickle from there. Now, again, the people that don't make a lot of money probably didn't really submit a lot to this. But if you're planning on releasing an app and it kind of being a slow roller and slowly gaining momentum, this is kind of discouraging.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really important to get it out there and get it in front of as many eyes as possible as quickly as possible, because that's where your money is.
And the big takeaway is that when you release, don't offer it at a discount. Put it out there at the full price, Yep. Because that's when your demand is the only time you're going to get full money.
Yep. Now, again, this is a, I don't say a microcosm, but it is a select percentage of apps and things like that. And I'm sure there's much more data out there. But I thought it was very interesting, the presentation of how the income decreased and how that tide rolled.
I'd be interested to see something like Angry Birds, like to see their sales trends. Something that's, you know, pretty persistent, very much pop culture.
Kind of a perennial.
Yeah, I mean, is that something that, do they have a fairly steady sales, or is it they peaked at the beginning and just maybe they just had so many sales so quickly in the beginning that that's why they're still going? I don't know.
Yeah. And again, something else I would like to see is how these numbers stack up with freemium programs. Mm. You know, freemium apps are kind of like the thing right now. Mm-hmm. I know that's mostly what I play. I just don't do the emium part. I just stick with the free.
That's me too.
You know, SimCity Build It is amazing. It's really fun for the first couple of days. And after that, it's really a slow churn, but it's still enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And I haven't spent a penny on it. Same with the World of Tanks and a few others, but I'd really like to see how their data, their money stream is going, and if you know how wide their net is as far as user base.
Yeah, and I think monetarily, financially, that's the way to go is the freemium wear, because you give something away for free, you hook them for free. Generally speaking, audiences are going to pay your, you know, $1 for whatever money pack or whatever.
Yep.
You get a 1,000 dudes to pay $1, you just made $1,000, you know, and that's easy to do.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get 1,000 dudes paying $1 than it is to get one dude to pay $1,000.
Very, very, very true.
So,
you know, and with that freemium model, I think, you know, that's where everybody's going right now, and I think that's the way.
And if you don't have faith in freemium models, then you need to pay attention to League of Legends, because they're making money hand over fist over there, and that's all free to play. You just pay for the little extras here and there.
Hearthstone,
so
another example.
Hearthstone, yep, exactly. I think that is the way, and that's fine, because cheapskates like me, I'll play a little bit of it, and once I get to the point where I can't continue playing without dumping some money in it or just waiting a little time.
Yep. And that's pretty much what it is. You can still do most of the same things playing for free. It's just going to take you a while. Instead of getting the instant gratification of, oh, let me dump $1 and I can have it now.
Yep.
You know, as opposed to waiting a week or whatever.
Yep. All right, man. Is there anything else that you want to share this week before we close out?
I think it was a pretty good show. I think we talked about some cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to not only the future of the show, but the future of some of these things that we talked about tonight, especially the programming slate and the Internet of Things. That's
where my money's at. Man. I can't wait. I want to live in that Jetsons future.
Yes. So
let us know what you guys think.
Oh, and the more I read about it.
Are you looking forward to the future where everything's connected, or are you afraid of getting your life hacked? Let us know, man. I'm at @rm_delnoche on Twitter. Amos is at Ethan Kane. And the show is at Ritual Misery. So let us know where you guys stand on that.
And if you caught the pre-show and you'd like to get your get a taste of some of his reviews on ratebeer.com, you can look him up on Del Noche. Find out exactly what Kent thinks of this beer that he rated today. And many other beers, apparently like 300 and some odd beers he's got on there.
400 and something. Come on now.
You know, the man might know what he's talking about. He might be full of shit, but he might know what he's talking about. And if you have ideas for the show, or you want to submit ideas for us to talk about, or just want us to research something and look into it and throw our opinions out there, you can find us on our subreddit at ritualmisery.reddit.com. If you have other ideas, you can email us at ritualmiserypodcast@gmail.com. You can find us right now on our home on the web at ritualmiserypodcast.blogspot.com. You can always go on iTunes, and if you like the podcast, go ahead and give us 5 stars. If you kind of like it, go ahead and give us 4. If you can listen to it sometimes. Give us three, and if you got one or two stars in mind, then just
move along.
Just go away.
No, but the important thing is we want feedback. Else. So if you think we're a three or a four star,
yes,
we absolutely welcome your review just as much as the five stars. The important thing is give us a review.
Yep.
Let us know what you think.
Exactly. Exactly. You can do that by email. You can even give us a call. You can call us at 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. The music that you hear right now is courtesy of Kevin McLeod. He makes some great stuff at Incomptech.com. Thank you for listening. And for Kent, for me, for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Oh, and don't forget to go to patreon.com/ritualmisery.
Patreon.com.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
/ritualmisery.
Actually, fuck me. The article that I linked to didn't even talk about the fucking... God damn it. I mean, it's fine, but you know what I'm talking about? The goggles. Yeah, which is... It's not really a hologram. It's fucking... It's augmented reality, but whatever. They can call it what they want to market it.